Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you've missed any programs that we've done in the past, you can find those archives are at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com. Any place that you like to get podcasts, we probably are there. Live by Every Word, as well as all of the programs here on Trumpet Radio, including the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, Trumpet Hour, and all the other programs as well. The Church of God has been called out of this world. Why is this necessary? Why should God call His church, His people, to come out of the world? What is wrong with the world? What's wrong with it? Well, we have to understand that even though when we look at the world, we do see some marvelous progress technologically, at the same time, we also see a rapid expansion of evils. That's a paradox that Mr. Armstrong talked about and wrote about. This great paradox of man, some really amazing inventions, some great progress in certain ways, but then growth and expansion of evils and problems as well. There's a very good example of this. Recently, Communist China celebrated their 70th anniversary of rule. So, of course, China's been a nation for a long time, but the Communist Party has ruled China for 70 years. And so they celebrated this 70th anniversary. And you might have seen some of the celebrations. They held a parade and some other activities. And they had some really amazing and outstanding shows. There was this piano concert that looked pretty outstanding, a light show, just really some amazing things. And they also had a military parade. They showed off some of their new technology, lots and lots of new weapons. New weapons. According to Al Jazeera, the news source, they say also on display at this parade was the DF-41 intercontinental ballistic missile, with a reach of between 12,000 and 15,000 kilometers. And that's roughly 7,400 to 9,320 miles. That's the range. It's reportedly the longest in the world. According to an analysis by the Center of Strategic and International Studies, the missile is capable of striking the continental U.S. within 30 minutes. And of course, it would be carrying nuclear warheads. 30 minutes. So look at the clock where you are and project ahead 30 minutes. If China decided to launch one of these DF-41 missiles right now, it would be here in 30 minutes. And of course, now maybe we'd be able to shoot it down with one of our defense shield systems. I don't know. Maybe we would, maybe we wouldn't. But if China decided, they could change the course of all of our lives in about 30 minutes. And other nations could do the same. China is just one example. And they've come a long way with their weaponry. Now, why would China develop weapons like this? Just for a parade? Why would America develop weapons like this? Why would any nation develop weapons like this? It's because they think they might have to use them sometime. Now, of course, it's mutually assured destruction. You've heard that expression. They call it MAD, mutually assured destruction. And we've had sort of this standoff. The nations that have nuclear weapons all sort of looking at each other, you know. No one wanting to get that war started because it would end with destruction of this earth, or certainly vast regions of this earth. Christ said it would be that way. Again, here's the paradox. Here's the paradox, and it was on display at this recent celebration in China. Some amazing things, beautiful piano concert, a light show that was just outstanding, and then also the DF-41 intercontinental ballistic missile, which could wipe out a major portion of the United States in 30 minutes. The paradox of man. This is the world, and this is the world that God has called his people out of. Come out of that world. How did the world that we see around us, the society, how did it come to be this way? Well, let's look at that today. Let's look at how this world came to be the way it is. And of course, we're doing so with a mind on the question of why do we have to come out of this world? We'll start in John 1. If you have a Bible, it'd be great to get that out. We could look at these passages together. And if not, maybe write them down, take a look at them later. But it's important to see what the Word of God says. John 1, and let's look at verses 1 through 3. This is the earliest recorded history. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." This is the beginning as we know it. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free and at thetrumpet.com, and you can sign up for it there. It's a great course. It says this: first, everything started with God. We just read that. In the beginning, we find two personages, God and the Word. They had life, self-inherent life, no beginning of days or end of life. And their job or their profession was creating. They had love for each other. They were in perfect agreement, powerful beings, cooperating, working together, not going against each other, but working together in cooperation. But as the quote points out here further, it says, there also was leadership. God was the leader. And the Word did as God told him to do. They worked together. They had wonderful unity, and they wanted to expand that unity and build and grow what ultimately it will become the God family. And so first, they created angels. And that's where a problem came in. And again, we're looking at why did the world become the way that it is today? This world that we have to come out of. Notice this, jumping ahead in history. Isaiah 14. Notice what happened. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. And keep in mind that up until this point, there had been unity, there had been harmony, there had been growth, there had been beauty, there had been success. But now something happened. Verse 12 of Isaiah 14. "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And really what's being said is, I will be the Most High. Lucifer, sinning here, becoming Satan the devil, the adversary, he wanted to be in charge. He wanted to be the top. And so he became jealous and angry and turned a third of the angels against God and the Word. So he rebelled. Now Lucifer had been placed on the throne of this earth by God. He was the ruler of this earth, and he still is, because he has not been replaced by Christ yet. But Lucifer rebelled, and we just read about that in Isaiah 14. He rebelled against God's way of give, and he began to live the way of get. We can really summarize these two different paths, these two different directions, by give and get. Or we could say life and death. But that's the attitude. It's either an attitude of giving and helping and cooperating, which God and the Word had and do have now as God the Father in Jesus Christ. And then there's that way of get, taking advantage of the other, getting for the self, and it becomes competitive. It becomes competitive. Cooperation was turned into competition. Who can be the strongest? Who can be the most powerful? Who can rule? And that way seemed better. to Lucifer's mind and became a twisted and corrupted thinking, and he became Satan the devil. Now, of course, it's very interesting to notice what was in Satan's heart there. He said in his heart that he would overthrow God and rule. His desire was to rule. Now, isn't that the same spirit that is motivating China to build missiles that can destroy the United States or any other country that is arming and preparing for war? What's the ultimate goal? Well, to rule. To rule. To be in charge. That's the same spirit. It's the same attitude. You don't see the nations of this earth cooperating today. Oh, there are brief alliances, maybe, to gang up on another nation or to try to get advantage through diplomacy as opposed to all-out hot war. But still, behind all of it is an attitude of getting for the self, competing, competition, wanting to rule. Satan had that attitude. He's the adversary. He's the accuser because he wants to rule. He wants to be number one. There's no room for anybody else. He has to be the top, and there's no room for anybody else. Well, God the Father does rule. He is the top, but he's expanding that family and building that family to include as many as are willing. Many, many people eventually born into God's kingdom and family. Satan doesn't want that. He wants himself to get it all. And that's the same attitude we see in this world today. Again, this world that is ruled by Satan and this world of competition and strife and vanity, that's the world that God has called his people to come out of. The Course says that Lucifer and his angels swooped up to heaven in an attempt to knock God off his throne and rule the whole universe. But they were cast back down to earth. As a result of their rebellion, the planet's surface became ruined, full of darkness. And then God renewed the earth's surface in 6 days, creating the flora and fauna, the plants, the animals, birds, and fish. And he made man on the sixth day. And that's in Genesis 1, 26 through 31, where you can read about that. Sometimes people get confused and they say, well, how could man only be here 6,000 years? The earth's older than that. Well, yes, but the earth has been here longer than man has. There's a difference between the original creation of the earth and when the earth was resurfaced and was fixed, if you will, and man was put on it. There's a difference there in the time periods. So God then moved into what we can call Plan B. The angelic plan failed. Satan rebelled. Well, Lucifer rebelled and became Satan. And a third of the angels did as well, became demons. So God created man. That's where we come into the picture. God created man, put us on this earth. And he gave us a choice. And that choice began, of course, with the first man, Adam. Let's look at this in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And again, we're looking at why the world has become the way it is. And why we need to come out of this world. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. It says, "And the eternal God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Enjoy it. It's here for you. I made it for you. It's good for you. It's wonderful. But, verse 17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die." Now, there's a way, of course, that seems right to a man, as the Bible says, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So, Eve, of course, was deceived, and then her husband was not, but he followed her lead. But she was deceived and made the wrong choice, and he followed suit. Made the wrong decision, ate from the wrong tree, disobeyed God. And great problems came upon this earth. The correspondence course said, had Adam taken of the tree of life, and now I don't know if you've considered this too much, what if he did take from the tree of life? Well, it says if Adam had taken of the tree of life, he would have received the Spirit of God, which would have begotten him as a spiritual child of God, later to be born of God. God would have continued to teach Adam and Eve. Adam was on trial in the Garden of Eden to see if he would qualify to replace Satan and rule the entire earth. So I think you can understand why Satan was so eager to deceive Eve. There was a chance he would be replaced as the God of this world, and he did not want to be replaced, and he still does not. Now, of course, Christ has qualified as the second Adam. He has qualified to replace Satan. He will come back and take over the rulership of this earth, and he will rule it from the throne of David. You can read all about that in the Bible, and of course, we have a lot of wonderful books about that topic at thetrumpet.com. And that event, that realization of Christ's return, is not far ahead of us now. But Satan went after Adam and Eve, and he did it through Eve, of course, and then Adam went along as well. But it says Adam was on trial in the Garden of Eden to see if he would qualify to replace Satan and rule the entire earth. Adam would have to reject Satan's way of living. Now, pay attention to this, because this is what God's people have to do today. Adam would have to reject Satan's way of living, reject this world, reject the society that we're in today. It says, which was represented by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam made the wrong decision. He ate of the tree of death. He did not eat of the tree of life. He, therefore, did not qualify to replace Satan on earth's throne. Didn't do it, didn't succeed. And so Satan continues to sit on the throne of this earth. He's still there ruling, and he does so until Christ replaces him. And so with Satan on the throne of this earth, ruling this earth, he's active. He does something. Now, he doesn't jump out of the closet and scare you. He works in other ways. He works in ways that are much more destructive and much more subtle. He is the prince of the power of the air. Let's notice that in Ephesians 2 and verse 2. What is Satan up to today? Well, we learn about it here. Just because we don't physically see him doesn't mean he's not active. We see what he does. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. So people that are living just in this world and haven't been called, this is how they walk today. This is just how they live. And they don't think anything of it. It's according, it says, to the prince of the power of the air. It's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So people that are having disobedient attitudes, they're being influenced by Satan. And most people are so used to it, they don't think anything of it. You know, a person could say, well, I'm just having a bad day, or I'm just depressed, or I just don't like that person. Or there's a whole range of emotions that can be quite negative. And they come from the prince of the power of the air. Satan broadcasts in attitudes of selfishness and vanity. Selfishness and vanity, that's how he thinks, right? He was selfish. He wanted to throw God off the throne of the universe. He was selfish. He wanted it for himself, and he was vain enough to think he had the power to do it. Vain enough to think that he could do a better job. Competition, he thought, would be better than cooperation. Well, of course, the fruits prove that he was very wrong, but he still in his vanity thinks he's right. Selfishness and vanity, and so that's what we see in this world today. An attitude of selfishness and an attitude of vanity. It just permeates the air, permeates people's thinking. Why? Because Ephesians 2:2 says, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. The course says that when Adam made his decision in the Garden of Eden, he rejected God, the Spirit of God, and immortal life. The human spirit in Adam became tuned in to Satan's spiritual wavelength from the first time he disobeyed God. You know, and that's a very interesting point. Satan, when he was deceiving Eve, he said, oh no, you know, if you eat from this tree, your eyes will be opened. Yes, that's right. Their eyes were opened. They were open to Satan's way of thinking. They were open to wrong attitudes. They were open to lies. I mean, our eyes can be open to a lot of things. I mean, think about just the fact that there's a lot of evil in this world that hopefully most of us don't really know anything about. We just haven't been involved in it. But if we got involved in it, well, our eyes would be opened, right? We'd say, oh, wow, I didn't know there were all these problems and all these difficulties. We don't want our eyes open to that. We want to turn away from that. We want our eyes open to God's way of life. But when Adam and Eve sinned, well, what happened? Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened, but they were opened to Satan's way of thinking and his wavelength. It says they became tuned in to Satan's spiritual wavelength from the time that Adam first disobeyed God. And his descendants throughout time and into the 21st century are still tuned into Satan's wavelength, receptive to the sway of Satan. Why is the world the way it is? Well, it's because Satan's the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He broadcasts in spirits of selfishness and vanity and competition. And of course, you could throw a lot of other negative fruits in there, but those are some of the root causes, root attitudes. And so the world thinks that way. Everyone's competing. Everyone's selfish. Everyone's trying to get for themselves. And so you have China parading missiles around that could blow up the United States. And the United States has their own missiles. And other nations have their own missiles. Because, well, everyone wants to rule. Everyone wants to be on top. It's from the attitude that Satan has. And that began with his attitude, and he broadcasts it to this world. That's why the world is the way that it is today. And that's why God tells his people to come out of this world. The church has to live differently than this world. The church being the members that God has called into the body of Christ, of course. They have to live differently. There has to be a different direction. And then Christ prayed to his Father before he was crucified. He said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Keep them from Satan. So we don't, you know, run and, you know, hide and get away from jobs and all those different things that we have to do to support God's work and you know, just go about our day-to-day life. I mean, we're not hiding under a rock somewhere. But we should not be thinking like this world or acting like this world or going to some of the very awful, quote-unquote, entertainments of the world. It takes judgment, it takes wisdom, and it takes understanding the law of God, but we're not to be like this world. Notice Genesis 3 and verse 24. What happened when Adam and Eve sinned? Well, this is what God had to do. Genesis 3 and verse 24, it says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims, in a flaming sword which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. The course notes that God would not allow Adam to eat of the fruit of the tree of life after he sinned. The Holy Spirit was cut off from mankind as a whole until God made it available again through Christ, the second Adam, but then only to those called of God into his church. And of course, that began on the day of Pentecost in AD 31. John 6 and verse 44 is clear. No one can come unto Christ unless God the Father calls them. But then when we are called, we do have to answer that call and then come out of this world. Come out of this world's ways of thinking and acting. It takes time. It takes effort. We have to keep growing. We have to keep fighting and pushing against that wrong spirit that Satan broadcasts and fills the earth with. It just permeates this earth with his evil thinking. Vanity, selfishness, and leads to competition and strife, and then, of course, murder, right? Cain killed Abel. Well, it's because he was jealous, he was vain, and he was selfish. Satan's broadcast leads to murder. And there's the paradox of this world, right? China celebrating its 70th anniversary of communist rule. Beautiful piano concert, excellent light show. And oh, by the way, missiles that can destroy the United States in 30 minutes. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan's way of thinking. Some things look pretty good, but ultimately, death and destruction is the end result of that way of living, of that way that Satan broadcasts to this earth. And that way of selfishness and vanity is the way that God tells his people to come out of. Come out of this world, because Satan is the god of this world. Thankfully, he will be replaced soon by Christ. But for now, God's people, God's church, must come out of this world. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. If you'd like more information on this topic or any topics related to the Bible, you can find answers at thetrumpet.com, the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, and our website, pcg.church, pcg.church. You can even write a letter in, and it will be answered personally for you by our personal correspondence department. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.